You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Monday, 16 August. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Gauteng, Johannesburg. On the show today, chatting with Nick Kuntz Markets, chatting with Thungela, CEO, on their first results as a listed company, and then Andre Siliers. The Rand certainly been weakening. Are we going to hit 15? What is he looking for the year end? The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management, authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines from MoneyWeb. Will Walmart ditch Massmart as things go from bad to worse? That update on Friday. Game horror show looking unfixable. Walmart might want out, but they have to find a buyer. That perhaps is the hard part for their 51% stake. Business day, Richards Bay coal terminal hit by power outage. This comes after a bunch of issues faced by coal exporters over the year. We'll chat with July and Glovo about that from Thungela. Morning markets. US was green on Friday. S&P up 0.2, Nasdaq up 0.3%. Asia is red this morning. Sydney off 0.4, Tokyo down 2%. Commodities mixed over the weekend. Gold a little stronger, 1779. Rand, 1475. Top 40 opening call looking about 220 points down. It's about a third of a percent as 10 cent trades down 3.2%.
MoneyWeb now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Nick Kuntz, Portfolio Manager at Sanlam Private Wealth. Nick, morning. Appreciate the early morning time. The whole NASPAS process, share swap, song and dance concluded. About, what, 490 million new process shares being issued. Do you think it's going to work? Is this going to unlock value, or is it becoming moot as Tencent keeps on cratering?
Yeah, morning, Simon. I think you're right. I think overshadowed by the events of Chinese regulation, quite frankly, and Tencent. And as you pointed out in your intro, down another 3% this morning. I think that's going to continue to dominate the direction of NASPAS and process. You know, management are trying. They have been trying over and over again. If it's not splitting and share buybacks and the like, and I concur with you, Simon. You just wonder if this gap is ever going to close.
They've tried lots. I suppose to their credit, they have tried and unbundling some things as well. A tiny little stock, which I have to be honest, I look Avenge. Right, it really was a penny stock in the proper sense of pennies. Except trading update on Friday, they might make 2 cents heps. I mean, have I missed something here?
Yeah. No, amazing. I mean, all the punters got into it a couple of months ago, and they all sort of say, Nick, did you buy it? Did you buy it? And I told you to buy it at 2 cents. Of course, I didn't buy it at 2 cents. But, quite a solid set of earnings, actually, quite frankly. I mean, notwithstanding the fact, as you said, it is a penny share. Mm. But just maybe, this might be the one of those 10 baggers that everyone, used to get into and buy the penny stocks. But certainly going in the right direction. And for a penny share, guess what? Then, as you said, they're making money.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know, my trading career is scars from penny shares that managed to go to zero, not 10. Lesson learned. Massmart update, market didn't like it. It is it's struggling. I mean, it continues to struggle.
Yeah, you know, it's I don't know where the end game is with this. And quite frankly, for long-suffering shareholders, it's been this way for a while. We've seen great trading updates from ShopRite, Checkers, which I guess you could put in a similar space, even the likes of Woolies and so on, getting better well off their lows. Massmart, I don't know where the end game is here. And is, that holding in game is just, it's just a shock. I don't think it'll ever come right. But I've heard your intro as well. Are there ever, who's going to buy this?
Yeah.
Because I think Walmart must rue the day they actually got involved with this. Although it is quite small in their world. But it's difficult to see a way out for Massmart, really.
And not an easy sell, because if they do sell, it's more than 35%. They're going to have to hit the buyer. They have to make an offer to minorities. And, price becomes the issue. Do you really want to pay $60 for half a Massmart?
Exactly. And you know, this was never a cheap share. You know, even the days when they were making money, I mean, it was always concerns that this was too highly valued, it was too expensive. Mm-hmm. But it was always in the background, was always that corporate play. I mean, it was the best kept secret in town. You remember, I mean, everyone was talking about Walmart sniffing around them. And I guess that was the premium on the PE. But now that that's out the way, I battle to see how they compete, and how do they compete in a changing world with work from home and deliveries and all the rest of it? Seems like they're in a different space to the rest of the market.
Yep, and in the wrong different space. Quick last question. Yeah. I'm not sure if you had a look Friday. Disney just knocking it out the park, particularly on streaming.
Yeah, biggest Disney Plus been a huge success story. I mean, the number of sort of subscribers that they've picked up compared to say Netflix in a similar space is out the park, as you said. Biggest leader on the Dow on Friday too, and I don't think they're going to. Certainly looks like they're going to be eating Netflix's lunch. But great set of results, and of course we haven't even factored in the opening up of the theme parks as well now too that are coming back on stream.
Yeah, and theaters, folks can go and see movies instead of straight through it. The number of streaming users is almost caught up with Netflix. Netflix got about a 15-year head start. Nick Kuntz, portfolio manager, Sanlam Private Wealth. Appreciate the early morning time.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement, and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
Business, finance, and investment news. MoneyWeb now
with Simon Brown
on The Money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with July Ngluvu. He is CEO of Thungela Resources. Of course, recently listed, spun out of Anglo American about a month or so ago. So new to the exchange, but not new to the world of coal. It was results for 6 months ending June. HEPS 305, no dividend, but the dividend will probably come year end. July, appreciate the early morning time. Let's get the trouble areas out of the way. How much sort of trouble have you been having with Transnet practically getting your coal to the Richards Bay coal terminal?
I must say that we like the rest of the industry have been heavily affected by Transnet's underperformance.
Mm-hmm.
But as you know that they had a shutdown very recently, 2 weeks ago. They've just come out of that shutdown, and we've agreed to give them time to settle out. But at the same time, the problems have been common to the rest of us. What we're seeing is theft of cables, mm-hmm. And that is a problem that is perverse not only to Transnet, but to the mining industry and the country in general. But of course, the issue of locomotive availability is something that we expect Transnet to be able to get right over time.
And
we have pledged to work with them to do that.
Yeah, and I mean, certainly they've got the experience. And of course, the coal terminal actually has more capacity there. In terms of volumes, I mean, you had a really strong six-month period. Part of it was the pricing in global thermal coal, and we'll touch on that in a second. Have you been able to push more volumes through your mines?
We have done well. When we ended last year, we put one of our pits on care and maintenance. We had the pit which was in ramp up, and that pit at Khwezela is ramping up quite well.
Mm-hmm.
But we were able to make we made up a significant volume of the Bokoni pit to put maintenance from productivity improvements from mines. The performance of those mines was very good.
In terms of global pricing, I mean, certainly we've seen those prices do well. And of course, you're a coal exporter and it's high quality thermal coal at that. Is price movements, is this a factor of sort of improving demand? Is it perhaps global supply that's come back? What's been driving those global thermal prices?
Simon, there's both a short-term issue and a long-term fundamental issue here.
Mm-hmm.
The short-term issue is the disruptions we have seen not only in South Africa in Colombia, in places like Indonesia, Russia, in terms of supply. And therefore, that has been very price supportive. In fact, Australia has also had disruptions. And therefore, that has been quite supportive. Together with that, what we're seeing is an improvement in the prices of the LH complex. If you look at gas prices in Europe, they've also been supportive of energy prices in general. However, the long-term fundamental issue, which I have alluded to over the last few months since I've been talking to the markets, is to say that the markets in which we serve, I have got relatively young generation fleet. It's in a region where economic growth is actually quite robust, even post-COVID. And therefore, with robust economic growth, we expect to see a growing energy demand. And with growing energy demand, we should see a demand for our product. We think actually that trend is a trend that should sustain well into the next decade. What it will do to prices, I can say, is that it will be price supportive.
I take your point in that, young fleets, because of course, last week you come out with your first results, the same week of the UN a climate report, which was putting pressure on coal. But if you're exporting into younger economies with younger power stations, it gives you that longevity as opposed to sort of aging power stations when they would frankly be pressured to perhaps move off coal.
That's right. But there's also quite interestingly a headline in the announcement by the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change that mm-hmm. sometimes is not quoted. Mm-hmm. Whilst they spoke about the urgent need to tackle global warming, in that same breath, they made a very profound statement for me, which is that what we now need to do is to focus on technologies that also remove carbon from the atmosphere. Mm-hmm. These same technologies, and they specifically mention one, carbon capture, sequestration, and use. Mm-hmm. And this is really a technology that just captures CO2, captures it and stores it underground. That same technology actually can be used on power stations, which will actually be quite supportive of the fundamentals in the long term for coal. And I think what we now need to do as society broadly is to move this debate from a winner-loser debate, which is, oh no, get rid of thermal coal, into there are technologies that can you mitigate global warming.
I get you, but I take your point on that. We can't shut down every coal-fired power station in the world. We need to actually manage that process, and there is technology out there. There was no dividend, but of course, dividend will almost certainly be paid year-end, only a month into their listing. That's July Nglovo, CEO, Thungela Resources. Appreciate the early morning, sir.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement, and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Training now with Andre Siliers, Director at Treasury One. Andre, appreciate the early morning time. The Rand, which had been on a fair bit of a tear. I mean, back in June, we were talking down, and I'm trying to see my chart there, 1350, looking significantly stronger. Subsequent to that, it's almost been one-way traffic to weakness, 1475 this morning. From your export view, and how much is this bout of ZAR weakness, or perhaps US dollar strength that we've seen over the last 2 months?
Good morning, and good morning to all the listeners. Yes, when one looks at the RAND weakness, then I want to immediately turn that around and say that 80% of that has got nothing to do with weakness of the RAND. Mm-hmm. It is actually dollar strength. Now, if you go back to the 1350, 1360 levels, that's exactly at that point in time that the Federal Reserve came out and inflation started picking up quite aggressively in America. And with the inflation figures picking up quite aggressively, they also came out during one of their minutes that was published that they had discussed that they will increase interest rates and change their monetary policy maybe a little sooner. Now, that little bit sooner is kind of brought forward from 2024 to 2023, mm-hmm. but in terms of the markets, that makes a significant difference. Since then, we have seen that the euro, which was closer to the 120 levels, had come back down to the 117, at one stage threatening to break the 117 and go into the 116 levels. And that's when the rand started weakening again in anticipation of higher interest rates in America and also the increased infections throughout the world in terms of COVID-19, albeit that there is vaccinations. We had seen that in some countries there were lockdowns again to higher levels, and that did play a little bit of havoc in terms of what's expected out of economic growth throughout the world. And we had also seen some of the economic figures out of China coming down a little bit, so their growth was not as robust as everybody expected, and that started declining, obviously, with an impact on emerging markets and South Africa heavily as a big trading part of China being influenced by that.
Yeah, I take the point. I'm looking at the DXY chart. It's exactly that mid-June when it starts moving higher, and that's exactly when Federal Reserve, I was on holiday that week, and there was the whole sort of temper tantrum from the markets after the Federal Reserve said we're going to do rates maybe a year earlier, and since then, currency has weakened. If we sort of try and look into the crystal ball over the rest of the year, is this trend then more likely than not going to continue? The factors that you're talking about on the ground there, certainly, you know, the Fed bringing it a bit earlier, certainly we're seeing lockdowns, Australia moving into harder and longer lockdowns again this weekend. We can probably expect more weakness through to the end of the year in the ZAR?
I don't really think so. No. I mean, if you once again go back to what the Federal Reserve had said, then they confirmed that they're happy seeing inflation at higher levels. Mm-hmm. What they do want to see, and they said that more than once now, is that they want to see employment figures actually picking up and that driving the growth in the U.S. economy, and that they will continue with the expansionary monetary policy until such time as they see full employment in America. Now, that is a slight bit of a problem, because when you go to the Americas and you speak to a few people and you listen to what they say, then there is a problem that is a lot of people that even in spite of higher wages do not apply for the vacant positions that they're in. I've just read last week that they're now even looking at various countries, including South Africa, to have people apply for positions as truckers, because people simply do not apply for positions in the vacancies that exist in America. So unless we see full employment and we see a robust growth in the economy, they will not change that. So I do not think that we're in for any quick change in interest rates. And I think as we gradually go through to the end of the year, we will see a rand coming back to levels of between 14.30 and 14.70.
Okay, and I take your full employment. America's at 5.4, Fed wants 4.5. That last 0.9% is not going to happen in a hurry. As you say, there's just a lot of jobs which people are unable to fill. Andres Cilias, Director, Treasury One, appreciate your early morning time. Chatting with Nick this morning, our poll we'll be putting out on Twitter and LinkedIn around that process, NASPAS swap, 449 million new process shares, which means almost half of NASPAS shares were swapped out. Do you think that's going to help close the discount? Let us know on our LinkedIn or Twitter profiles. our Friday poll, we're chatting with Mia about MTN and Sanlam tying up, offering you insurance products, saving products. Was it something that would interest you? Would you buy a savings or insurance product from a telco? A quarter of you, just over a quarter, said sure, if it's price rust. The rest of you were, nope, please just give us better data prices. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website and app, 6:30 a.m. Podcast available just after 7. Huge thanks to the team, Eddie, Cordora, Nicole and Masekhla, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.